Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
As all guests appear on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, our first destination, Pittsburgh. And 93.7 The Fan's Chris Muller joining us on the show as Pittsburgh moved to 2-0, and they got a chance at 3-0 today as they get set for the Houston Texans coming to town on Sunday at 1. But not everything's fantastic. Offense, some people were wondering, struggling, and it seemed like the defense gave up a couple of points there, Chris. What type of Steelers football team is this? Is this the juggernaut a lot of people thought they were going to be?
After 1 week, I'm going to be like a fish on a pier here and just keep flip-flopping. That's what I get ripped for all the time, which I don't know. I think that's smart to be able to adjust your opinion on a team based on the
guys. You and Lima ought to do a show together.
Oh, yeah. Stop it.
I watched them after week one, and maybe it's sort of like the bias where a team plays better in the second half of a game. You come out of that game feeling better than if they play well in the first half and then fall apart in the second but still win. I thought they looked really good against the Giants. I thought the kind of sum total of what we've seen here is about a 9-7 team that'll sneak into the playoffs. That was a game against the Broncos where, yes, if they, you know, they play that game last year, they lose because their quarterbacks can't get anything done, and Roethlisberger made two great throws for touchdowns. That defense got lit up by Jeff Driskel and Tim Patrick. Noah Fant's a first-round pick, fine. But I don't want to hear about this team's pressures. They've got 40. That's 11 more than the next most in the NFL. They've got 10 sacks. Only the Washington football team has more. Wonderful. They were getting strafed by a bad quarterback, and that's alarming to me. Devin Bush is a really good player, but he just got worked over by a talented, bigger tight end. Minkah Fitzpatrick, completely invisible. So the pressure is one thing, but I was underwhelmed by their defense, and I'm really underwhelmed by their running game, despite them having two different guys go over 100 yards in each of the first 2 weeks.
I'm going to want to ask that coming up here in a moment, but Chris, I have to go back to it because I think the pressures are fantastic. I was actually talking to Lima at 8:20 earlier when we were doing the Browns power rankings, is I did notice something with Joe Hayden where he's gotten older, and I know he got torched by Cortland Sutton earlier in that football game, but he comes up with a tipped pass interception where I think pressure is what forces quarterbacks to make those types of throws and get those balls tipped and get those interceptions, where I think Joe Hayden has been given new life in Pittsburgh because of your guys' pass rush.
Yeah, he's been really good since he got here, obviously, and his first year and a half, I would say even 2 years in Pittsburgh, I thought it was Joe Hayden was good because he was Joe Hayden, but you're starting to wonder, I think, now, and we've had this discussion, if he's maybe losing a step. We have Arthur Motes on our show every Tuesday, former Steeler linebacker, and there's debate. Is it Joe Hayden getting old, or is it these guys didn't get any kind of preseason or training camp, and you're going to see players not look like themselves till about week four? I really hope it's the latter. If it's the former, they might be in a little bit of trouble. The pressure's great. Like, don't get me wrong. The pressure's great, but what is it going to do against maybe a Deshaun Watson as opposed to Daniel Jones, or, again, I'll say it, Jeff Driskel?
Chris, your running game is something that I have brought up as, I think, a huge weakness for the Steelers. I got crushed for it by Steelers Twitter, thanks to Filippone.
Those are all like rabid, weird animals.
Well, I think it's because Steelers of Filippone, one of the most undeserving national sports talk show hosts there is. So I'd like to get your thoughts on the running game, and if you think that the Steelers are going to stand pat with these guys the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think they are. I thought Benny Snell's 100-yard-plus game was a much more impressive one than James Conner's because there were just several more quality runs mixed in there. Conner, obviously, because of his story, he's a Pitt guy. He's from Erie. There's a rabid following for him here and a rabid support base. The guy had a 59-yard run to ice the game where he was so worried about fumbling it that he didn't get to the end zone where he probably should have. And then he had two runs at the beginning of the game for 19 yards. So that's, what, 80% of his yardage on three carries in the game. Benny Snell, just fumbling problems. It's going to be nightmarish. I think they have two running backs, and Mike Tomlin would love for one of them to be the bell cow that he so desires. But like starting quarterbacks, when you have two bell cow running backs, you really have none.
Chris Muller, 93-7, the Fan in Pittsburgh. Final one. Is it expected to go 3-0 against Houston, which everybody thinks is trash now?
If you're talking lay of the land with, like, fans, I think, yeah, probably they feel really good. I put up polls really quick that said, like, how do you feel about their defense and their offense through two games, better or worse than you thought they'd be? And both of them came out better, so I think people are bullish. I will be surprised if they beat the Texans because I think Watson is a completely different kind of dude than the first two quarterbacks they've seen. I don't really like O'Brien. I don't really like the Texans overall. But I think that's the kind of game where they're going to lose because they're going to run into a guy who can really make some plays.
Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. We now head to Baltimore, 105.7 The Fan, and Ken Wyman. As the Ravens, well, they just continue to roll. They're 2-0, as to be expected. Is this a 16-0 football team, Ken Wyman? What's going on here?
No, I think they're really good, but they're going to have some bumps along the way, and one could be this Monday night when Kansas City comes to town.
Yeah, Chiefs are coming to town. That offense, boy, I'm being annoyed by Kansas City because I thought the Chargers played as well as anybody could against Kansas City, got themselves out to a lead. Justin Herbert looked good, and then here comes Patrick Mahomes. I feel terrible saying it because it's just a cliche, but you really have to play a full 60 against Kansas City, Ken.
Yeah, I was watching the end of that game, the overtime, and when the Chargers had the 4th-and-1 and Romo screaming for them to go, and I'm thinking the same thing because you give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes and you're going to lose, and that's exactly what happened. You sort of have to play differently, and Houston did that in the Ravens game. They had a 4th-and-1 early from their own 34, and O'Brien went for it, and Deshaun Elliott blitzed from the left side, blew the play up, and the Ravens, three plays later, I think, are in the end zone. So you got to play differently when you're going up against a Mahomes or a Lamar Jackson.
Ken, one of my takeaways in that win over Texans, as impressive as it was, I thought that the Texans' defensive front got to Lamar Jackson a little bit. That's such a rarity. I never see him get touched. And yet they got to him, but it was still impressive, obviously, what he was able to do. His third down efficiency is, like, all-time great right now. Do you see weaknesses on this Baltimore team?
The offensive line, interior offensive line, could be a problem, though. I think that Tyree Phillips, who's the rookie playing right guard, will eventually be fine. He didn't play there in college. He was a tackle. They love his athleticism. One of the sacks, Lamar ran into it. Two of the other sacks were J.J. Watt, and he blew up. Orlando Brown had a bad day against J.J. Watt. But if you're going to nitpick, yes, the offensive line did not play well in the first half. The second half, they played much better, and they just started to road grade the Texans' defense. And they also committed more to the run in the second half and had Pat Ricard, the former D lineman, at fullback, and they just ran over people.
I think it might be too early to ask you this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Houston comes to Cleveland on November 15th. The Ravens have already played Houston. Will they still be the same team? Is it too early to say? And if they will be the same team, how do you think the Browns should attack that team the way the Ravens did?
I'd run the football. You got two great running backs. I don't know if they're going to be the same team. So I saw Cleveland early. I'm not sure what they are yet. I don't think Houston's that good. I think they miss DeAndre Hopkins a lot. And, you know, Will Fuller is supposed to be their number one receiver now. And granted, the Ravens have a really good secondary, even with Tavon Young going down. But with Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters, Will Fuller didn't catch a ball Sunday. And DeAndre Hopkins was like his Watson security blanket. But if I'm Cleveland and I've got Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, I'm running the football against that defense.
Is there any comparisons you could between John Harbaugh and Andy Reid in their careers? Are they just two completely different but successful coaches?
Well, one's an offensive guy, one's a defensive guy. Harbaugh was with Andy in Philly. They're very close. Harbaugh has trouble beating Andy. I think that they're both coaches that are really good but get get criticized sometimes for having trouble winning big games, though. John won a Super Bowl in 2012, and Andy finally got over the hump last year. But my understanding is they're very good. They're very close. And I think they're both very good coaches.
Ken, is there any concern whatsoever? I don't know that there would be, but is there any concern that Baltimore, knowing that really what matters to them is the postseason and having Lamar Jackson actually win a playoff game, is there going to be any coasting that goes on with this team this year, or is Harbaugh never going to allow something like that?
I'll tell you, Harbaugh wouldn't allow it, but Lamar Jackson wouldn't allow it either. He basically is moved by his failures, and losing to Kansas City twice in Kansas City, they're focused on that game. I think they're very focused on the regular season, but yes, that maybe some of the players have half an eye out on the postseason, but you got to get there first. And this has been such an odd offseason to begin with. I don't think this situation has allowed for any coasting.
I gotta drag it on one more, and I don't mean to keep you too long here, Ken, but is there any conversation between you and Jason about the rash of injuries that broke out in week two? Do you think that's related to the lack of preseason, or is it like, hey, these are ACLs and these are maybe things that might be just coincidence?
I think we've talked about it a lot on Monday. I think it's football, though there might be something with that field at MetLife. And I know the 49ers are complaining about it. They said it was kind of sticky. A lot of injuries for the 49ers, and they got to play there again Sunday. So I know they complained to the league. I don't know what they can do about it. Unfortunately, though, I think the rest is it's football. It's a violent game. Guys get hurt. Unfortunately, we had a ton of injuries last week. We didn't have that week one, but I just think it's a horrible coincidence that we've had all those injuries.
I agree. Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. It's interesting to note, Lyman, because the Browns have to do the MetLife doubleheader coming up towards the end of the year. With that, we go to Cincinnati and ESPN 1530's Mo Egger, afternoon show host there. So they lose, they go to 0-2, but everybody's excited about Joe Burrow. Mo.
Yeah, we are. They are. The Bengals are. Bengals fans are. And, you know, I think that sort of illustrates the frustrating thing about being 0-2. The quarterback play has been fine. Hasn't been great, but it's been fine. Joe Burrow was not the reason why they lost on Thursday night. And yet... everything around him seems to be falling apart. The offensive line is as bad as suspected. We saw the defense, you know, late in that game on Thursday, they score to go down five. There's 6 minutes to go. And the Cleveland Browns basically say, you know, we're going to throw Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt at you, and you can't stop us. And the Bengals couldn't. That's on the defense that they retooled this offseason to the tune of more than $150 million. And, you know, I get annoyed when I hear people say, look, the wins and losses don't matter. All that matters is Joe Burrow's progress. I think that's BS. This is not the youngest team in the league. In fact, far from it. They're about 15th in the NFL in terms of average age. They have a ton of guys on this team who are in their second or third contracts with this team. They brought in a bunch of dudes who are in their second NFL contracts. Nobody expected them to win, you know, 9 or 10 games this year. That would be far-fetched. But at some point, you've got to take a step forward. You have to stop. You have to do something besides pay lip service to winning. And especially, it's one thing if your rookie quarterback is playing like a rookie. And he certainly has had his rookie moments, but he's been fine, and yet the team around him hasn't delivered, and they have lost two very winnable games here at the start of the season.
So, real quick, I know, Lyman, you want to jump in, but let me just beat you to the punch here. Is Zach Taylor on the hot seat to you guys then, down there in the media with the fans?
I don't know that he is right now. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what the conversation is if this year's record by the end of the season looks like last year's record. You know, as much as we've gotten used to the Bengals being uber patient with head coaches, you know, I don't think this is going to be one of those deals where he gets years and years and years and years to win. I think they understand that the directive here is to win while Joe Burrow is under a rookie contract. And if Zach Taylor isn't the guy to get that done after a year or two, then they are going to move on. I don't know that that's going to happen at the end of this year, but look, again, the front office didn't spend the money they spent on free agency. They didn't keep A.J. Green. They didn't, you know, re-sign Joe Mixon. They didn't hang on to their veteran pieces with the idea that they were going to go 2-14 again this year. And I genuinely don't think they will. But the longer this goes, you know, at some point your franchise has to be about winning. They've lost 23 of their last 26 games as an organization. It's great that you have Joe Burrow. It's great that you can build around him, but they're not starting from scratch. And so, yeah, the results when you have a reasonably experienced team, a quarterback who's playing well, the onus shifts to the coaching staff. And so I've said all along, by the end of this year, you know, you got to feel pretty comfortable with the quarterback you have. I'm pretty sure we will. And you got to know by the end of the season, you know what, this is our head coach. And you are being very fair if, as of right now, you're wondering if they indeed have their head coach.
All right, Mo, one final question. We got about 30 seconds. I saw Tim Couch in 2000 try to stand up upright for an entire season with one of the worst offensive lines ever. I saw it with which Carr brother am I speaking of? Houston? Is it David? Yes, David Carr. Is there any chance your rookie QB gets demoralized by this? He doesn't seem like that guy, but it's a little bit different when you get punched in the mouth for every game for an entire season.
Sure. It's called Andrew Luck. You know, I mean, I think that's the fear here, that Joe Burrow turns into Andrew Luck. Look, I don't think that's going to happen after a season, but if this becomes a chronic thing where year after year they fail to build a good offensive line, and let's face it, this has been a problem on this team for a long time. The inability to keep the quarterback upright, the inability to identify and draft the right offensive lineman, the inability to develop offensive linemen. This has been a recurring theme for a while. And sure, if it persists, absolutely Joe Burrow is going to be affected physically and mentally.
Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. We thank all three of those guests, Mo Egger, Ken Wyman, and Chris Muller, one in Pittsburgh, one in Cincinnati, and one in Baltimore, as we go around the AFC North. All guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And remember, Cincinnati takes on Carson Wentz, who people already want replaced in Philadelphia coming up this weekend. So a lot to get into there. One thought from what he was saying a little bit about Joe Burrow that I want to go back to, because Aditi, myself and Aditi got into this yesterday about this, and I want to go over that two-point commercial thing. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.